Hello. Welcome back to another episode of Allowed to Ask. Hello, Mom.
Hello, Danny.
High-pitched voice over there. Yeah. Your haircut is looking scrumptious.
Thank you for taking me. You look beautiful. Thank you.
What's going on? How was your week?
2 weeks. Amazing.
How was your 2 weeks?
Amazing. All good.
I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Happy? No.
You're glowing.
Thank you.
I'm hunchback. I can feel myself. Let's like make sure we sit up straight.
I missed you. And now I need to have a lot of scoop. It's been a while.
Okay, what do you want to know? I'm an open book.
Okay, allowed to ask?
Correct.
How many questions?
Are you going to pay me for them?
Well, no, that window closed now that we do the podcast. I don't have to pay you anymore.
No, now you can pay per podcast.
You just...
P for P.
You just chat for free. So any dates? Anything I need to know about?
For sure, Z's. I went on a date last night, which was very fun. We met on First Rounds on Me. And it was actually a very refreshing date, like the whole process from start to finish, which I feel like I haven't really had in a while. So how it works on the app is, you know, he sent me a date request. So he requested dinner. And then it's on the app, it says I don't really drink. So he requested dinner and then we matched. I accepted it. And it happened within a span of like 4 hours, which I really, really appreciated because I do not want any small talk. I know we've talked about this before, but I want to get to know a person in person. And I think also, you know, going back and forth sometimes on text could lead to ghosting or, you know, a misconception of what the person's really like in person. So all that to say, it happened very fast. Sent me a date request. I accepted it. It happened that night. So last night. And it was great. We like chatted really briefly on the app. It only allows you to talk for a certain amount of time before your date. So like I said, they just eliminated the small talk, which was nice. And it was great.
And I think you only have 12 hours to talk anyway.
Correct.
Which is smart. So you stay on it.
Right. And it's also like I'm a busy bee. I'm a working woman. I have my own company. I'm on my phone all the time for work purposes. I don't want to be on my phone talking to someone I haven't even met yet,
right,
nor if I even know if I like them or not.
Right. Save it for in person.
Yeah. And it's also great. Like added the date to my calendar. It syncs with your calendar. So I am a calendar girly through and through. I know you still have like your little like physical calendar.
Yeah, which, date book,
so antiquated. What's it called? Like a Rolodex?
Filofax.
Uh-huh. Who?
Filofax. And they're still in business because every year I order my new...
The Rolly one?
The Rolodex. That's different. I don't...
You
use
are
that
keeping
anymore.
That company alive since 1925.
No, Filofax. I don't have a Rolodex anymore. That was like in my working world.
The thing that goes like this.
Yeah, I don't use that. I have a date book, and the company that makes the inserts for my date book is still in business probably 60 years later.
They're going to be really upset when you stop ordering. They probably wait for your order. Oh, Janice Cravat ordered again.
And you know me, I'm so organized. I do it like 4 months in advance.
Yeah, thank God. So yeah, it was just very nice. The date got added to my calendar, and it was just like done like that. And it was really fun. So
okay.
I would like a second date, but we'll see what happens. You know, we're off the app now and texting. So
have you been texting?
Well, we like texted a little last night after the date and then like a little bit this morning, but like nothing crazy. Like I just like you're still in the getting to know each other phase.
Right.
It's been one date. So stay tuned there.
Okay.
Hopefully by the next podcast.
And I was also thinking when you go on a date, I mean, you don't really have to worry like if he likes you because you're fabulous. Like he... Like,
facts.
No,
facts.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's... Wait, I lost my train of thought.
No, I know I'm going to finish your train of thought because I say this all the time, too, where it's like...
It's more important for you to like them...
Correct.
...than if they like you.
Correct.
And that kind of takes the pressure off.
100%. And I think I used to also go into dates being like, did he like me? But then this has been like probably like 3 years now. I'm like, fuck that. Like, if... Did I like him? Like, do I want to spend time with this guy anymore? And I feel like for the first few days after I was seeing someone, I was so focused on like, okay, making sure they still like me. And then I got to a point where I'm like, wait, or if they ended, I'm like, wait, I didn't even like the guy.
Right. Okay, good.
But we're going to keep it moving. We're going to like still swipe. So I thought it could be fun if we do a little
like
2 minute swiping moment.
Yep, let's look. I also think when you're on a first date, you should just keep the first date short. I don't know how long you're out, but just to keep some other things to talk about in the future and to keep your energy up. Like you even, you know, said
yeah,
it got a little mellow towards the end, which isn't a bad thing, but
Yeah,
it's a lot of pressure for some people.
And also, it's like you're so on for those. I think the date was like 2.5-3 hours.
It's a little more than you probably should the first date.
Wait, maybe not. 8. You it was like 2 hours.
Okay. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, it was a cute time. I wasn't like drained at the end. Like sometimes I leave a date and I'm like, holy shit, I'm exhausted.
Well, that's because you're just talking the whole time and they're just.
I'm actually, true. I am talking the whole entire time. But he was very chatty too. And he asked very, very amazing questions. Like you could tell he's very comfortable in his skin. Like man in therapy vibes. We love a man in therapy. Okay. Let's start swiping. Can you see? Wait, I want to move this a bit.
Yeah, I like the dog.
Yeah, that's cute. He's cute.
Give me some stats.
Stats. 30.
Ooh.
Ooh, here we go. 36'1".
Ooh.
Ooh, we like height. Murray Hill. Murray Hill at 31.
But we can't say that. But
yes, we can.
But when we circle back to the other guy, he had a roommate. Like if it's by yourself, who had a roommate? It's better.
Oh, yeah.
The worst guy you ever went out with.
The worst guy I ever went out with. Yeah, he sucked. Murray Hill at 31.
That's fine, though, if he lives there alone.
Oh, he's a co-founder. We love a fellow co-founder.
Okay.
I don't want to read the exact, like.
Yeah, you can't read.
Yeah. He's going to be a no.
But you didn't even wait for my opinion.
I didn't need your opinion. Can you put your glasses on? You're not able to see anything from that far away.
What, did he just graduate elementary school? Like, what is that? Better be a good graduation if that's the picture.
Harvard Law.
Oh, yeah.
Post Harvard
that.
Law.
That works.
With two dogs. Okay. Okay, Daniel. A lot of dog pictures.
But I like that. I think that shows kindness.
I thought you just said we're not going for soft.
No, I know. But I do like people who like dogs.
Me too.
I've been very busy with Mrs. Peaches, though. She's like a celeb.
You're so cool that you know about Mrs. Peaches.
Well, yeah, every morning I can't wait to read the content. I find it so funny. And it's good because now Miss Peaches gets tons of gifts.
Miss Peaches is the new It influencer.
Yeah, and now she she's not even fuzzy, which is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, but we're the only human beings who, like, desires a super fuzzy dog.
Yeah.
Like, if what's his name? I'm blanking on his name.
Dave Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy said, like, you can have Miss Peaches. Would you want Peaches?
No, because she's not fuzzy.
But it's Miss Peaches. She gets all the branding in the world.
Do you remember the whole Dave Portnoy thing when we used to go to Miami?
Yeah. So funny story about Dave Portnoy. We stayed at the same hotel as him a few times. And
you were always out.
I was always out because I'm a fun chick. But my mom and brother would literally wait in the lobby and just like watch him
people
watch. And they would just watch him pick up different girls at the bar and take them back and forth to
every
the elevator every night. Just a different girl from the bar to the elevator, up to his room, to back down.
So this is many, many years ago. But they were like little chicks in like bodycon dresses.
Who the? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he is probably still with chicks in bodycon. This guy, reading his prompt, he really likes kitchen utensils.
No, he doesn't.
That's what it says, I swear to God.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. Want to know what he does with kitchen. But back to dating for people who aren't dating.
Okay.
I think it's important. I think it's important to get out there, be you, and then this way you could also learn people's communication styles. Like you'll just be a little bit more comfortable.
That goes back to the whole, like, I don't want to talk to you before the date. Like, right. I don't, like, save it for the date.
Right. But you're comfortable in your skin. There's a lot of people I know, like, friends of mine, kids, who the kids don't date. But they have to, like, rip off the Band-Aid. It's like looking for a job. Like, you got
to
keep putting
stuff out
there.
When I was on the way to the date last night, I wasn't like, oh, I'm so excited about this. Like, I wasn't, like, in the mood to go. I actually ran into my neighbor as I was going. And he was like, oh, where are you going? And I'm like, ugh, I'm going on a first date. And he was like, he's like, oh, you should be so excited. Like, it happens when, like, you least expect it. And I'm like, no, totally.
Is this
but
the guy,
like,
with the baby carriages at his door?
Yeah, exactly.
He probably wanted to go on a date.
That's disgusting. Thank you for that. But, yeah, I'm never, like, in the mood and excited to go on the date. But then once you're there and, like, actually talking. Like, I said last night, actually, I've never been on, like, a really bad date. Like, probably, like, one or two. But other than that, my dates are always already just like either average or great, I've said.
Right. But you're also fun and have good energy, so you could just make it fun, even if
Correct.
You're not having fun.
Correct. Okay.
Okay.
Let's wrap that up. All right.
What do you want to start with?
I thought it'd be fun. Well, fun's not necessarily the word, but I thought it's important to kind of touch on our, not even just our relationship, but kind of how, you know, we got so close. And I know you've mentioned before that your friends are like, what the hell did you do or did Danny do to, you know, get us to be so close and so comfortable with each other, which I think is a blessing and a curse because sometimes you're fucking annoying and I don't want
to. Oh, you're never annoying.
No, never. Absolutely never. And I have heard, I would like to say that we're lucky in the sense where I feel like we didn't really have a lot of like quote unquote situations or uncomfortable conversations growing up or even now, because I think you made it very comfortable for me to approach you about certain things.
Right. I think I always knew what was kind of coming next.
Yeah. And like, even when I tried, I'm thinking of something right now, like even when I tried to like be sly about something, you always like knew, you were picking up what I was putting down. So I spoke with a bunch of my friends, and I know you did the same, more about like what were issues, and I don't like the word issues because it just very, it sounds very negative.
Yeah.
Like what were uncomfortable conversations or things that maybe you or you know someone went through with their mom or their parent, and you know, kind of just getting our take and talking about how to really navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one that I came to mind for me was like, which goes back to how you made conversations and things so comfortable, is when I wanted to go on birth control. Do you remember that conversation? Okay. We were sitting in your bed watching like, was it like Desperate Housewives? No, I wasn't that young. Whatever. I remember it was like a Sunday night. It was like before school.
I don't even remember.
And I was laying in your bed with you and I was like getting ready to like lose my V card, whatever. And I was like, Mom, like my back has been really hurting from like my period. Like I think I should like do something to fix it. Like, and you were like, you're having sex. Like, you were like, you're having sex. And I was like, no. I'm just like, my period's like really bothering me. We went to the gynecologist like the next day. And I remember in the parking lot, we walked out and you go, context guys, my mom calls me boo boo. We walk out and you go, you poke my shoulder, you go, I can't believe my boo boo's having sex. Like, quote. So I think just like the fact that you made settings like that that could be so wildly uncomfortable. What do you guys call it? Like the birds and the bees
yeah.
conversation. Like the fact that I was probably so like a little anxious and nervous to bring it up and be like, hey, I probably just could have said to you like, hey, like I'm thinking about having sex for the first time. Like, right. Can you put me on birth control? You probably would have been like, oh my God, like let's talk about it. Like, I'm happy you want to go on birth control.
But I'm happy you also asked and didn't do something on the slide either.
You say on the slut?
On the slide.
So yeah, it was just like the fact that you made that situation that can seem so uncomfortable. And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, never had that moment where they were probably just doing it behind their parents' back, I guess. Or in their beds. Yeah. But you made that conversation so easy and open and accepting, even though I was so nervous.
You're welcome.
Your reaction was like, oh my God, like boo boo's having sex, which is probably not the most normal response ever, but like you made it very comfortable.
Okay, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But that's how I like to roll though.
Yeah.
So you are open and honest and.
Yeah. Another one I had where I think we joke around about this, but talking about like favoring kids.
Oh.
And I always joke around like, oh no, like I'm the favorite in the family. For context, I have a brother, just one other brother.
You're not allowed to talk about him.
We're not allowed to talk about him because he's whatever. No, he's the best. Love him. But like, he doesn't want us to talk about him. But I always say like, I'm the favorite because like I add energy to that. I think if I was not in this family, you guys would be boring.
Well, I would probably go crazy.
Yeah, you would go crazy.
Because I would be talking business 24/7.
Yeah, stocks, finance. Yeah. Oh, my God. Literally, I have, like, two finance mm-hmm. bros in right. my head all the time.
But speaking to my friends also, mm-hmm. and I also grew up with two older brothers, and mm-hmm. even though I did everything, like the chores, and I did everything around the house, and, you know, another friend of mine said the same thing. Actually, two other friends of mine said the same thing. The boys are always the favorite. Like, for some strange reason.
Is this your way of telling me that Jordan's your favorite?
No. But I'm saying even in my family now, look yeah. how it is with my mother.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been so nice, so kind, and so giving, and my time and everything. My brother, like, could do one thing, and it's like, you know, he's amazing. Yeah. And a lot of my other friends have the same situation also.
With their parents or with their kids currently?
With their parents. You know what I'm talking about?
Do you think that's a generational thing?
Totally. Totally. Much more sexist. Yes, 100%.
I know. I get that, obviously, because, like, right, grandparents are obviously older, different. Right. They grew up a different generation.
Right. And even if the daughter is closer to the mom, the boys are still amazing.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think that's, like, so much the case now with, like, your age and your generation.
You're right.
Unless
you're right.
This is your time, you want to tell me that
no.
Jordan, you like Jordan better.
No, I love you both.
Okay, sure. no, true. But I mean, my friends always, we were talking about it and they just said there's, like, I don't know if there's so much more like favoritism these days when it comes to, like, parents and kids, but there's, like, just different relationships. And, like, you definitely don't talk to Jordan about certain things than you do with me. And there's definitely things Dad talks about with me that he doesn't talk about with Jordan.
Correct.
I think.
Yeah, 100%, right?
Right.
We appreciate our audience.
We appreciate, yeah. And you also have to know your audience. Okay, another one that I think is important to talk about is I've had some friends or friends of friends mention that an issue they had, quote unquote, issue they had growing up with their parents or their mom specifically was talking about body weight, mm-hmm. which is, like, so crazy to me to think about, like, a parent being overbearing about what their kid eats, because you literally, your nickname for yourself is Fatty.
Correct.
Like, you refer to yourself as Fatty.
Right.
And, like, we were the household that had, like, all the amazing snacks and, you know.
And I encourage you to eat them.
Right.
I was like, if you're not going to eat this when you're young, just like how I used to make you dress with little short dresses and the hot pink bra.
Team.
Like,
team
rock
that.
It. Like, do it. You're a kid.
Right. So, like, how did you, do you know, like, do you have any friends who are
yes.
like that? How do they, what are the, what's their side of it? Like, for maybe girls my age whose mothers are really on their ass about what they eat and their weight, like, how can they approach their mom and be like, you need to shut the fuck up because it's messing with my mental health long term.
Right. Well, one of my friends who I discussed it with, she said it was more of her mom's actions. Like, her mom never really said, you know, watch your weight or you're getting a little heavy or whatever. It was more of her actions. So she would get an apple in her lunch and her brothers would be getting ring dings. And then her mother always
What's
wore
a ring ding?
A ring ding. Like, it's kind of like a round yodel.
Oh, I've never had a yodel.
You had a yodel. We used to eat the chocolate off of it and unroll it, and there was vanilla inside. You've had yodels. I've had yodels in the house.
No. Okay. You're like, you have eaten a yodel.
You have eaten a yodel. So, and they're really good in the freezer. But anyway, so her mama was more her action. She would give her an apple. She would always buy her clothes that were, like, a little bit too small.
Mm, I know someone like that, too.
And my friend definitely, I mean, she's figured it out now,
mm-hmm.
but it really hurt her when she was young. And one of the things that I was thinking about that when I would always had a situation with my mom, which we could circle back to, she showed
circle
me something.
Back. I love your work jargon.
Oh, no, she showed me something that she wrote when she was 8 years old. And it said, I wish I was skinny. And I was
your friend wrote that when she was younger.
Yeah. And she showed me a picture of it. Cause when she was, I was like, that's so weird. Like, who thinks about skinny at 8 years old? And her mother really did a number on her. And even now, like, we'll go. And I mean, a lot of times I sit and eat lunch and she just keeps me company. Like, she definitely has spulkies. She manages it. She doesn't have an eating issues, but she's definitely
That's
in
so
her
interesting,
head.
Especially
sad.
Like, I don't want to say I understand it happening more now with, like, social media and just, like, influencers and all those things. It's just, like, that's crazy it happened even prior to social media. But going back to what I was saying before, like, let's say I was a daughter whose mother was up my ass about, like, what I was eating. Like, what if
it becomes a thing?
If this was us, like, how do you think that someone should approach their mom about this and be like, you don't understand, like, the damage that you're doing?
Exactly like that.
Okay.
Yeah. But parents don't realize the harm they could do for a kid. And I always said, like, you have to be present. Like, it's a hard job, but you have to be there and, you know, to get it right. And I mean, I remember when you were little, you used to go to play dates at someone's house and, you know, you could have a quarter of a sandwich and the kid has issues now. Like,
and I come home and you give me like 8 sandwiches.
Right. Or a sleeve of Oreos.
Remember? Yeah. I blame my addiction on Oreos on dad.
Right.
On dad,
right.
Strictly.
And you remember we always said, eat them. There's going to be one day where you're not going to be so comfortable eating them.
Yup. And I was like, if I'm not gaining weight now, I'm not going to gain weight later. I was like a 14-year-old twig. Right.
Like, hello, world.
Hello. Hello,
but that's sad, and though, and that makes me sad. And I know a lot of people like that, too. I have another friend also. Like, it's definitely starts when they're young, and it really shouldn't be an issue.
Right. And it's like how comfortable a parent makes the kid feel about approaching them about it.
Right, or a parent shouldn't even highlight it or make it a thing or do it in a healthy way.
Right, okay. Right. Well, we're getting deep today.
Woo.
I'm kind of into it. Okay, bringing it back to the dating realm, how do you think a mother should talk to her daughter in a way when, let's say, she doesn't love the person that their daughter is dating?
Boy.
Yeah, you were like... You're like the worst person to ask for this, honestly, because you gave me bad advice back in the day.
Well, I gave you bad advice back then, but then I think now when I look back.
Like if I'm dating someone right now and you don't like them.
Well, you could usually tell that I don't like him. I really wouldn't give advice. But then when it's over, I kind of go like, I was totally not into him. The guy was a loser and next.
Right. But not. But most parents really aren't like you in the sense of like your bluntness and your honesty and your like emotions and reactions.
But I think also you have to, you know, you have to meet somebody. I think whoever you end up with, I will really like because I know you.
That's very comforting to hear, honestly. No, but it's true. I'm not even sure if I'm going to end up liking them.
But trust me, if I don't like somebody, you would know it.
True, but not about me and you. I'm saying if we were not us right now and you were your friends, let's say your friend comes to you and they're like, Janice, like, I cannot stand so-and-so's boyfriend. Like, and they said, like, what should I say to them? Like, how should I bring it up to them?
Just in a very nice, kind way and just say, look, I think we need to talk. I don't think this is the right person for you. I don't, whatever. Life is hard. Marriage is work.
Marriage is work. I've heard you say that before. Right.
But it's true.
Yeah.
You think every day is like roses?
No, but can it be?
I mean, you know, it takes work like anything else. Any relationship takes work.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the honeymoon phase does wear off.
Wow, guys, we're putting a lot of faith in the dating world right now. Okay, what about you over there?
So when I never really had that many situations. But when I was young, a situation that I always had was that I talked too much. We had like rotary phones.
That's genetic, by the way. Right? Yeah.
So we had a rotary phone and my mother would be like, you talk too much. I couldn't even imagine if when I was young I had cell phones because I wouldn't want to be that kid addicted to it. But I did. I talked on the phone for like 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And it was a rotary phone that you had to like dial and go around.
Don't we still have that in our house?
Yeah, I have my grandmother's. So my mother put a lock on the phone, so then I couldn't talk on the phone. I have another friend who told me her parents ripped the phone out of the wall. But even when the lock was on the phone, I could push this little button and get the operator and say, oh, my phone doesn't seem to be working. Could you connect me? And then I'd blab for another 3 hours. And then...
Who are you blabbing with? Just like friends?
Yeah, I was very social.
Yeah.
And then... when my mom went to back to school night, it was the same story. Every time she came home, they said, the teacher said, you're lovely to have in class, but you don't stop talking.
I think I got the same feedback.
Probably. And I even have a certificate from kindergarten in 1968 that says, the award for the most talkative in the class. But you know what? Now in hindsight, I mean, I used to get yelled at every single time my parents came back from back to school night. I was sitting on the steps going, oh, here we go again. But it served me well.
It served you well.
Right. So I think it was like bullshit. The teacher should have been like, this is awesome.
Yeah, look how social she is. Like, you don't need to worry jack shit about her.
Right. She's going to be fine.
I definitely would get in trouble a lot for talking in class, I think, right? Actually, our fingers are
right now. Because I don't want to forget my thought. But, you know, you guys have phones where you could text a friend. We used to throw notes. Like, we would write a note and, like, throw it across the room.
Obviously, you're going to talk about that. I was just telling this story. Actually, when I was in some, like, science class or whatever, like my senior year of high school, I was, like, at a shared, like, lab table with three other girls. And we were talking so much. So I also spoke a lot in class, like from middle school, elementary school, whatever, high school. And the teacher got so mad at us and he was like, go outside and like go to the principal's office. We didn't even go to the principal's office. We left school and went to Mariani's for lunch. And then we got detention again because we left. Whatever.
Yeah. Did you have the sandwich?
Yeah.
The turkey?
Yeah, I missed that sandwich. It was good. That was good. How'd
you get from the high school to Mariani's?
I drove. I was a senior.
Oh, okay.
You picked me up. Oh, that's a good thing to talk about too, is like you were so present when you were, when I was younger. And like you, I think it also has to do with like, one, you wanted to be there for my brother and I, but two, so you're very social when you were younger, but you're a homebody now. Like,
correct.
A lot, I know a lot of, even just like my friend's parents growing up, it's like there's no one way better than the other, but like you were always the parent that was driving us to parties and to and from parties and just very, very present. And I feel like a lot of people don't really have that. So I had to kind of navigate that. Is an
but maybe that's
concept.
Why we're also so close, because I always opened up the house and you, the kids hanging out in the basement and doing whatever they were. Like mm-hmm. I wanted to always kind of be one step ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And I knew you were going to be doing, I knew when you were drinking and I knew when you were smoking pot and I knew when you were doing drugs.
I like wasn't really smoking pot. You say pot. That's so weird.
What do you say?
Like smoking weed.
Okay.
Not the biggest smoker, but yeah, you're right. You were very aware of it, but right. Not by me really telling you. You're just like, you did it. So you kind of understood
right,
that it was
but
happening.
It was 'cause then you were in like a safe haven being in right. My basement and you weren't going to, you know, you weren't going to get in trouble.
Right. What are your thoughts on parents who track their kids' locations?
When you travel and stuff, I would like it. You know, when you're,
you track me, you know that, right?
Yeah, but I don't really,
I don't think you know how to use the app.
No, it's not that I don't know how to use the app, but I know where you're going. Like if I woke up in the middle of the night one night and was freaking out and I had to look to see that you were home, that's one thing. But I mean, you're like a grown-up now. What am
I know,
I,
but
what
do
am
you,
I tracking?
But what about?
Yes, I have some friends that look every 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Like during the workday? Like
well, they also like if they're seeing some guy, if they're at their house or whatever. Yeah, I know friends that track and look.
That's so interesting. I do look at find my friends a lot. Just like, it's like just to see my friends. So like even last night, my friend Jordan texted me during while I was on the date and he was like, I'm so confused. Like, where's your date right now? Cause I was like walking on the High Line.
Oh, but
he
that's
was like,
cute.
Where
he was
are
checking
you?
Checking in on you.
And I do that too. Like when my friends go on dates, like I check their location to see if like they're home or not. Not if right. I think anything's happened. I'm just like, oh, like are they still on the date? Are they having fun or are they home? Like,
right.
But I think it's so interesting that, like you said, your friends, even like when they're adults, like my age, your friends are still tracking.
Yeah,
the kids.
Sometimes they look to see if they're, you know, they also don't want to make their kids feel bad if they're home on a Friday night. Like they're happy to see if they're actually out because they don't want to make it a thing if they're not out.
Got it. So it's more about like a socializing thing.
Could be.
Okay.
You track me.
I track you to make sure you like make it home alive because you're a nervous wreck driving in the city.
No, I'm not a nervous wreck. I just don't like it.
That's true. That's true.
It takes a lot of energy.
That's
true.
It's
like a crazy place to drive.
That is true. Another thing I wanted to talk about was grades in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like how parents are like overbearing in that way and like so up kids' butts about like getting good grades. And I'm kind of forgetting like how you were about it, but my friend reminded me of a really funny story about grades and your comparison to it. You were like,
can I say something about boobs or something?
Yeah.
Wait. Something just came to my, I don't know.
Like your light bulb was going off.
Yeah.
Okay. So my friend told me this past weekend that you said to her, you were like, look, you got to compare grades to boobs. You don't want A's. Too small. Not that exciting.
Oh.
C's. They're like a little too big. B's. Just right.
Wait. That average. Sounds just like me.
Well, it was you. You
yeah,
said that.
But it sounds like something
it's
I would
so
say.
So funny.
Yeah. Janice school.
Janice school. Yeah, we got to create that school, actually. Remember that whole idea
well,
you
yeah,
wanted to do?
To help kids out.
Help kids socialize.
Yeah. But
that
I
would
think
actually
that's
tie,
really important.
That will tie nice back, night. Whoa, English. That will tie back nicely to your, you were talking a lot in school growing up, and you want to start a whole like school, a Janice school, where kids could go who maybe have social anxiety, and you could bring them out of their shell.
Correct.
What would you do in that school?
No, but even I used to talk about it with my son that I'm not supposed to talk about.
Every time we mention him, we're going to be like, no, we can't talk about him. Yeah.
But like a school like this, kids that get picked on, like, or for stupid, like, little things, like, And it sounds stupid because appearance isn't important, but I think when you're young, kids just look for something to pick on you.
Yeah.
So that's where, like, they needed my school.
So you were doing a glow-up school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would like that, actually. Yeah.
Just and does it help people feel more confident?
Right. That's what it is. A confidence-building school.
Love that for you.
I think you and your brother, who I'm not allowed to talk about.
We can't talk about him. I'll do the social media. He'll do the finances. Right.
But it's true, though. You really need to be comfortable in your skin mm-hmm. and know who you are and bring good energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Love that.
It works.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this one's interesting, and I know you don't really give a jack shit about it, but I'm curious if you've encountered this with your friends. What are your thoughts on your kid or your friend's kids, whatever it may be, dating someone who is not the same religion? I know we just
talked about this. If you're the same religion, maybe it makes it easier, but personally,
so you could both celebrate Easter together.
I just think it's kind of nice to celebrate everything.
Well, it's because you grew up that
way. Right, and that's how I grew up. My dad was Greek Orthodox. My family was raised Jewish. Mm-hmm. But I think...
the best of both worlds over there.
Right, but if you love somebody and they're a good person, and it's a little bit of a different standard because mm-hmm. you're the girl and you're Jewish, so if you married someone not Jewish, I'm sure... I mean, you're not going to raise...
Is that a real thing, though, where like you usually follow
the
wife?
Usually follow the mother. Yeah, the wife.
Where's that rule written? I'm not mad about it.
I don't know, but like, we should see if it's written somewhere because it is. I mean, I'll
put it on a piece of paper.
You're not going to raise a kid that's, you know, Greek Orthodox. You don't know anything about it. You don't know anything about Judaism either, but
that's not true. Point.
It doesn't matter. We're like really reformed.
Shabbat shalom, bitch.
But I think it's nice to kind of do all. I mean, I grew up with doing a Hanukkah party with a Christmas tree. I mean,
I remember I used to ask Dad for a Christmas tree, and he was like, no. I'm like, what about a Hanukkah bush? Hanukkah bush. Should I get laser? I'm kidding.
I knew you were going to circle back.
It was a good segue.
You're so painful.
It was a good segue. Why are you so anti-laser?
Because it might come back into style.
Felix, is Bush in? Bush is out. Bush is never coming back in.
Yeah, but it might come back in style. Remember that Sex and the City episode?
I actually am just watching Sex and the City for the first time through right now. And it's actually really hitting hard because I'm like the age that they are trying to be in the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
you mean the first one?
Yeah, the first season.
It's really funny.
I'm like, who am I, a Samantha or am I a Carrie? Like who, I can't tell which persona I want to be. Do I want to just like go out and fuck around or I want to be more serious?
I stick with Carrie.
What about Miranda? No, I'm okay to not be a Miranda. Yeah.
I think Miranda likes Bush.
Yeah. Say louder for the girls in the back.
I think Miranda likes Bush. Right? I haven't watched it in a really
Miranda
long time.
Likes Bush in the recent... Oh, maybe in real life.
I think both on the
but
show.
But in the new season, she's a lesbian.
Yeah. I think in the original ones, she was too.
So oh, back no. to laser. Okay. Okay, do you have any more topics from your friends?
Situations?
Sure.
Oh,
I have another one then.
Oh, so you go.
Do you have any friends who experience hating their son, daughter's in-laws?
It was kind of like, when I got married to Dad, my parents and Dave's parents
didn't like each other.
Well, it's not that they didn't like each other. My mother, she'll never see this. Very high maintenance, and with the guest list, you could only do this, and you know, very controlling, and you know, she took
like
all
wedding
the,
planning.
Yeah, she took all the fun out of it.
Really?
Oh, and then pictures.
I feel like this is still how it goes with wedding
planning. No. She didn't like when my mother-in-law made the video, you know, the wedding video.
Yeah.
My mother thought she wasn't in the pictures enough.
So your mom thought she wasn't in the pictures enough.
Meanwhile, every picture that the video went by, she was like, no, don't get me, right? So, like, she didn't want the pictures. Then she was pissed she wasn't in the pictures. But then she made a whole separate video of more clips of her in it. So it was just very
complicated. Were there any photos of you in there?
Yeah.
I have the best photo of you and Dad at your wedding. It's actually the only photo I have, and it's the one where he's like holding your tits. Yeah, behind. That sounds so weird to say,
but it was fun.
But it's cute. It's a cute photo. Yeah. I forgot what the question even was there, honestly. But this was in-laws. Right. Okay, but do your friends have that at all? Or your friends' kids aren't really married, I feel like.
Yeah, they're slowly getting married.
Yeah. I found it interesting, actually, and we talked about it, we meeting the guy I went on a date with last night, kind of growing up.
Did you save anything for a second date? You really, like, had a lot of stuff going on in there.
I don't know if you know this, but I could talk for years. Like, eons. Like, to the point where, like, it is exhausting. I exhaust myself. Now I lost my train of thought. Mother.
The guy you went out with last night said to you.
Oh, we were talking about, like, growing up in, like, this Northeast Jew bubble, even though he wasn't Jewish, actually. Actually, he wasn't Jewish. But, and we were talking about kind of, like, standards of, like, my mind is coming back because you were saying how a lot of your friends' kids aren't married yet or starting to be, like, these, like, expectations to be married or dating someone by a certain time. And he said, like, he very much had that where he grew up. Like, he grew up in a very Jewish area, but not specifically a Jewish town. Mm-hmm. And he was saying when he moved to California.
Oh, I missed that whole part.
Yeah, he moved to California. He was saying, like, all those kind of, like, standards and expectations went away. Because I asked, I was like, oh, are your friends, like, married? Like, what's their relationship status? And he was like, most of my friends are actually really single. Not, he didn't say really single. Most of my friends are single. And he actually told me also that some of his friends explore, like, open relationships.
All right, this is getting weird.
No, it's not weird,
Was
Mom.
He trying to see if you were, like, interested
well, then
in
I was
that?
Like, well, then I was like, what? What? And I'm like, that's like, I was like, is that something you're into? And he was like, no, it's not something I'm into at all. Like, he was like, he's like, it would be more like, he's like, I'm a monogamist in that way. But he's like, if I was dating someone and they said, like, hey, I'm interested in doing that, he was like, I would think about it and be open to it. But he was like, that's not the way I roll.
Yeah. I would hope you're pretty closed.
I'm a closed door.
Yeah.
In that regard. But going back to my point around just like these like standards around like, you know, when you should be dating someone. And I hate to break it to you, but like you and like your frenzies definitely like put this unspoken pressure on people our age. I hate to say it. And he was saying, and he took himself out of that bubble. And now he's like friends with a bunch of people who are like 31, 32, 33, and they're not even close to wanting to get married.
Right. It's not that I want you to get married. It has nothing to do with being
married.
No,
I don't want
to get married
right now.
I just think it's nice to have that emotional connection with a person and having your person, you who you like to do things with. You could go on a run with them. You could play tennis. You could play pickleball. Like,
wow, I'm really active.
You are. But have like a built-in buddy, like a little playmate.
You're my built-in buddy.
I know, but I think, yeah, but you just told me I come in too early.
But that's because the podcast we record at 5:30 and you come to my apartment at 1. Like, it doesn't need to be like that.
But I think you're ready for an emotional connection.
I love when you tell me what I'm ready for.
I do think you're ready.
What do I also want for dinner?
All right. And then also, I always kid around because in the summers, when you roll in with your crew, I wouldn't mind your crew turning to 1. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, but my crew is dying down because they're all getting into relationships.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. And you're saying, we don't put pressure on you. And now you're like, hello. Start working on it.
You know what? It will happen.
I'm not worried. Are you worried?
No, I'm not worried about you at all.
Do you really put yourself out there? Yeah, no. A little too much. Are your friends, like, do you and your friends, over your Canasta games and your Mahjong games, are you like...
No Mahjong, Canasta.
No Mahjong, excuse me. Sorry. Are you talking about, like, do you guys talk about, like, your kids' dates?
We talk about dating, but my friends love you. Like, they do. They just think you're just, you know, 80 degrees and sunny.
Because it's just my stories?
Yeah, usually have funny stories.
So I'm actually not even just going on dates for me to find a romantic connection. It's to literally entertain you old hags over your Canasta game.
And snacks. Danny and snacks.
Yeah.
That's what we talk about.
But do you have friends who say, like my daughter or son's not dating, like what can I do to get them out there?
No, like, I do have friends like that.
And then you just tell my stories and they're like, let me encourage.
But I always try it's actually funny because I do have a few friends whose kids aren't really out there and they don't date. And I always say that, you know, have them go on first rounds on me. And, you know, they should go on the app and it's a good like opening to discuss dating.
Right. They're not like putting themselves out there, so they should be going on apps to kind of like, meet people. Like if they're not going to be going out on the weekend, not that I think I'm going to find my person in a sweaty bar on a Friday night, but like, right, you have to put yourself out there, which might be going on apps. And
right. And everything's like an audition. Like you'll just keep getting better and better and more comfortable in your skin.
Exactly.
And
that's like what I say to my work clients. It's like, you're not going to get comfortable posting content until you start posting content. You're not going to start, you know, getting comfortable with dating until you, what?
Is it kind of like when you were young and you had to read a chapter?
I'm so petrified for what you're about to say.
Push back for like an hour and you had to read like 5 pages. And I used to say, the only way you'll become a better reader is if you read.
Totally. But weren't you the one who just walked into this podcast studio and said, I haven't fucking read a book in years?
Okay, but because you took it over now.
Yeah.
Now you're like an avid reader.
Now I'm a nerd.
Right. That's right.
It's honestly so much of a nerd where like when someone asked me, aka last night on my date, asked me like what I like to do, I said I like to read.
Ooh.
No, I know. Talk about a geek.
I know. You're not that far out of college, but you know what? If you went back.
No, I've been out of college for 7 years.
I know, but you became a great student.
I when became a great student at a time when school was not even present in my life.
But I think your disposition and your sunny personality.
Thank you.
And you're great at what you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm the best.
Thanks, Mom.
Okay. Do you find that you have similar like parenting tactics to your friends?
No,
like,
I'm definitely.
Do you surround yourself with people who like are similar to you in that
regard? Yes, 100%. Like all my friends are great mommies and get enjoyment from their kids. No, it's true, and that happens to be very, very important to me.
Yeah,
but wait, I lost my train of thought though that I wanted to say.
I don't know.
What'd you just ask me?
I asked you if your friends.
Oh, right. If my friends are all yes, yeah. That's definitely a common denominator.
Do your friends who don't have daughters, like straight up, do they say, "I wish I had a daughter"? Because I'm biased. I think daughters are incredible.
I agree. And yes, I do have friends and they're just hoping for awesome daughter-in-laws. Because it's a different dynamic. It's just different. Like, I mean, I love my son that I'm not allowed to talk about. but it's just different being with you. Like, we're like two peas in a pod. We like to do the same things. We like to run and go and do. And
not physically run.
Yeah, no. Like, run into a store. But you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I like that. I know. You always say like you wanted a third kid and that's just not.
Which I still did so bad. All I wanted was for you to have a sister. And now I'm happy to know that you didn't even want one.
Could you imagine? I mean, I say I'm happy I don't have a sister because I don't know any other way. But could you imagine me with a sister?
Oh, maybe you would like it.
I don't think so. It would be a battle.
Well, you'll have a sister-in-law, but that's a little different.
That's totally different. Yeah. But like.
Yeah, I don't know if I could handle two of you.
No. But who knows? Maybe my sister would be like nothing like me.
Right, mellow.
Yeah. And it's actually funny because a lot of my friends, actually most of my friends, except for two, that I'm off the top of my head at least, have sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And two of my best friends are one of four girls.
Which is crazy.
So crazy. And when I'm with them and because I've spent like family vacations with both of them, it's such an interesting family dynamic because it's so different than our – hours. Oh my god, where am I from? Hours.
Yeah.
In the sense where like, I mean, they're both incredible families, but
are they fighting for attention? Like,
No. There's no fighting. I don't know about it when they were younger. Everyone's adults now. They're like 26 plus. So like no one's fighting for attention. It's just like, I can't imagine fighting over Jordan stealing my sweatshirt. Like it's like just things that no one way is better than the other, but it was just so interesting being in a household for two separate weeks, two separate families, four girls. It's just
so
different.
It must be exhausting for the parents because girls definitely do take more energy.
I think
guys are
probably
usually
so
a little more chill.
They're just so used to it.
They don't know anything else.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you have a friend who has four sons. I mean, different energy, but like that's just I can't imagine being in a house with more than just my brother and I, who we can't talk about.
So the one with the four boys, I mean, I think one of the boys is now getting married, but I don't even think he ever knew about like a tampon growing up.
That's
like,
crazy.
Like everything, because
so honestly, I shaped Jordan into being the educated man on women today.
Correct.
You're welcome for using tampons, Jordan.
Wait, tampons, thing one and thing two.
Thing one and thing two.
That's
I think that story, which we'll tell in a second, really was like the foundation to our being close.
No, we were close before that too, but whatever.
I don't think so. So okay. The story is we call ourselves thing one and thing two, not in public. And the reason we call each other thing one, and do you want to do the honors of telling this story?
No, you do it. Like you got your period. Yeah. I guess we could talk about it, right?
It wasn't, I don't think it. No, we're going okay. I got my period and when I was like younger, I was like a baby. And this was like before I did any like, Felix, cover yours. This is before I did any like sexual activity.
Right. You were in the bath and you were very private. Like you would always.
Yeah.
Boobs and whatever. But you would never like you would just. Never was, like, show. Sacred down there.
Never show my hoo-ha. Sacred yeah. down there. Still to this day. Very sacred down right. there.
So you were in the bathroom.
I was in the bathroom and you were standing outside the door and my brother.
Trying to direct you.
Yes. For context, my brother's bedroom is right across the hall and he was there doing work because he was a fucking nerd. Kidding. And you're standing outside the bathroom door and I'm trying to figure out how to put a tampon in. And granted, nothing has ever been in there before. So we're all confused about who goes what and where.
Correct.
What goes up what.
So I came up with a little song.
Well, no, this was after no, the story.
I was trying to tell you how to do it, direct you to put it
in. No, this was... You're ruining the story.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out where to put this fucking tampon because if you're a lady and hopefully a man you know, there are a few holes down south. Okay? So I'm sitting in the bathroom, not letting my mom look at my you-know-what because I was weird back then. And she's trying to direct me where to put the
outside
tampon in.
Outside the door.
Outside the door, where to put the freaking tampon in. So I'm like, okay, I think I got it. It's going up. It's going up.
No,
it's
but
going
I was trying to teach you where it goes. So I went
no,
one,
you're
two.
Doing it wrong. You're no. doing it wrong.
Okay.
We made the song after. We'll sing the song. It's that should be our theme song. I'm putting the tampon up. I'm like, oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. And then we're like, yay, we're cheering because the tampon was up. And then I go, wait, I think it's in my butt.
No, you go, wait, I don't know. It feels weird. So I went in the bathroom and I opened your butt and I'm like, oh my God, it's in the wrong hole. So that's how and Jordan's like, shut up. Well, no, I'm not supposed to say his name.
No, I said his name before.
Okay. Jordan's like, you guys are gross.
Quiet. I'm studying.
Right.
So we thought of a song, and maybe this will help our young listeners out there. There's no way there's someone like less than 24 listening to this. But the song is this. Thing one and thing two.
Thing one and thing two. Thing one bleeds and thing two makes you two. But it worked. And that's how you were always able to learn, though, also with anything. With so we had the thing in one thing, too. Like, so when the next time you're putting it in, you knew where to do it. Even with vocabulary
there's no confusion
words.
Now, by the way.
Right. But we always had a song or something for every vocabulary word, everything. Because you're like a visual person more than a...
Yeah, I'm a visual person. You should have given me a fucking diagram of the holes. Thing one, right. Thing two.
Which also reminded me... And the different in the generations. Like, you learned about all these things probably from me being gross or just talking to your friends.
Oh, you were saying
in
your friends
day,
are thinking of vagina and butthole songs?
No. But when I was young, I either, like, learned all my stuff from the Playboy that was left in the bathroom. Like, that's how I knew bodies changed. And then we used to have this
book. Playboy
book.
Wasn't telling you how to put a tampon in.
No. But I'm just saying your body changes. Whatever. Oh, okay. We had a book, Our Bodies, Ourselves, which I should find it because... It's probably
it's
so
giving,
antiquated.
Like, it's giving
I
Judy
mean, even
Bloom.
Even though everything's the same, but...
I feel like I learned about sex the first time from that Judy Blume book. What's that book called? I like.
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Honestly, yes. They did a remake of that.
That might be the last book I read. She's fabulous, though.
She's fabulous.
There was a documentary just about
her.
Oh,
that's what it was.
She's amazing.
Honestly, like, I'm a very sexual person. I don't know if you know that about me, but
I
like...
I think so.
It's genetic. And I honestly think that's when I was like first so intrigued about like sexuality and things like that book.
Mm-hmm. And she was a very ahead of her time, all those things that she spoke about.
Yeah, but I don't think they were talking about like sex in that book. It was just like thing one and thing two.
Yeah.
I should watch that documentary.
It's amazing.
That's the last book you read? Oh. No. Like,
you gave me one like a decade ago that I think I just finished.
Yeah. Judy Blume.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called. Okay. Any final questions for me? Any like this is your because after we end this episode, I'm gonna say save it for the pod. For
yeah,
next
see,
weekend.
And that's what makes me sad because I used to get all the scoop like you know within a few hours of it happening. I don't really like saving everything for the pod.
Well, I'm sorry.
So we have to work on that.
Literally no other option here. Okay, thank you for joining me.
Anytime.
I'll see you
and
next
always,
week.
Always. You got it. Love you more.